I was going to, it's maybe you've seen it before, and I think maybe you have. I think I've showed it maybe once before here, but it's just illustrating this story, this passage of Scripture. If you ever want to see it, you can look it up yourself. But it's called The Chosen. All right, we need to pray. All right, compose yourself. All right. Heavenly Father, we come before you now, and we do. We know that your word is the most important thing, and we want to give honor to the Lord tonight. And Lord, we consider the word of God and the truth that it is, and nothing can pierce the heart and touch the heart like the truth of God from the Spirit of God. And so, Lord, I pray that you would, as we consider this passage again, you'd remind us of the great gift that salvation is. And Father, that you'd remind us again of the wonderful work and the eternal purpose of God in sending forth your Son into this world. But not only did it provide for us salvation, and not only did it is it the answer for the sin problem, but Father, there's so much more that we benefit from because of Jesus Christ. And Father, being translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your dear Son, being aliens from God, going from being aliens to God to being reconciled to God, no longer enemies, but sons of God. And Lord, to have access into the very presence of God, all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that again you'd remind us and encourage our hearts, and Father, challenge us again with our own response to you, our own commitment to you, Lord, our devotion to you for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. We've spent a lot of time this Christmas season looking at the birth of Jesus Christ, and that's pretty normal, natural to do, but we've looked at it from several different angles, from the Sunday school hour with Pastor Humphrey teaching to the preaching services, lots of different angles and different aspects, considering the life of Mary, the life of Joseph, the names of Jesus. All of those things are aspects that we have considered, and you know, we spend more time on it in this season, and that's maybe the motivation for it, but really there's no other story in the Bible that speaks with such clarity about the power of God and the purpose of God in sending His Son into this world, the purpose of God in redeeming sinful men. And so it's never something that we would tire of, because it reminds us again and maybe gives us a more understanding again of just exactly what God did so that you and I could be saved. Just the fact that God stepped out of eternity and into time. Just you think on that for a while and it's enough to boggle the mind. We read about the shepherds here in Luke chapter 2 who were lowly, undeserving, who were the outcast, who in some ways were considered the pariah of society. And yet God chose them for a very special purpose at the birth of His Son. We read about the angels who were amazed that the Creator was born in the image of the creature. We read about how the angels were praising God and rejoicing over this God's plan being put into action. We read about the manger that Jesus was laid in, and we're reminded that Jesus set aside His splendor and His glory, that He became a man to die for sinners. We can't hardly comprehend all that God did and all that Jesus Christ set aside so that we could be saved. We can't comprehend His majesty and His glory and His splendor. We read all of these things, and sometimes it's really more than what our finite minds can really grasp. But then, as we read the Scriptures, we're called back to and reminded of the words that the angel said as he visited those shepherds on that Judean hillside that night. Look at these verses. In verse 8, there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. In the angel's words here, we find really the true glory of Christmas, because he said, unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Unto you, all of mankind, is born a Savior. Unto us, a Son is given. What a gift that God would give his very own life so that you and I, wretched sinners, could be saved. And so no matter what else the world makes of Christmas, Christmas will always be about God's gift to sinful men. And tonight I want to look at exactly what was given and really what it means for us. And I want to do that by looking at what the angel had to say about who this baby was. In verse 11, that's going to be our text here tonight, where the angel said, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I want to take each of those names listed in this verse and help us to understand a little bit more about who and what this gift was that God gave to sinful men. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The threefold identity of Bethlehem's baby. First of all, the angel said, Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior. The word or the name Savior, it's a title really. And it's the title of acceptance. A title of acceptance. This child, of course, as we know, is Jesus. This child's mission wasn't to come and save the wealthy or the righteous. He came to set sinners free from their sin. Later on in Jesus' ministry, he said in Luke 19 and verse 10, For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He states his purpose. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came for those that no one else wanted. In Mark chapter 2 and verse 17, the Bible says, When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Of course, that's everyone. But Jesus stated his purpose as to why he came. He's the Savior. He came to save, to seek and to save that which was lost. As Savior, Jesus provides three things for us. First of all, we are delivered as sinners. We are delivered in Him. The name Jesus itself means Jehovah is salvation. We're delivered from sin's penalty. We're delivered from the power of sin. We're delivered from the presence of sin. Ultimately, when we stand before the Lord and sin is no more in our life, when we're rid of this vile body, we'll be delivered from the presence of sin. In Revelation chapter 1, and understand what a great gift this is, my friend. Without the Lord Jesus Christ and without His sacrifice, there is no deliverance from sin. Without His shedding of blood, there is no deliverance of sin. In Revelation 1 and verse 5, And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and of the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. He's a Savior. The title of acceptance. And first of all, we're delivered in Him from sin's penalty and power and the presence of sin. 1 Peter 1:18 says, You're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. But later on it says, But you're redeemed by the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We're redeemed. We're delivered. What a gift, friend, that we can be delivered from our sin. Secondly, though, we're accepted in Him. I told you, Savior is a title of acceptance. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Jesus provides deliverance, but he also provides the acceptance. In Ephesians 1 and verse 6, the Bible says here, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." In verse 6, we find this term, accepted, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved." The word "accepted" here means to endue with special honor. It means highly favored. So in Christ, we have acceptance. We've been endued with special honor. We're highly favored of the Lord in Christ. And the word "beloved" here, it means, or it refers to the adoption of children. If you go back one verse there, in verse 4, actually, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved." It refers to the adoption of children. We've been adopted into God's family. We were aliens from God. We were strangers from the Lord. We were enemies of God, but we've been reconciled to God. We've been translated into God's family. We're adopted. We have the power to become the sons of God. Amen. Even to them that believe on his name. We're accepted of God, endued with special honor, highly favored of God, as a beloved son of God in God's family. No longer aliens, no longer enemies, but adopted, accepted of God through Christ. Think of it! When the judgment of God and the wrath of God abides on the lost, abided on you, that word means to sort of hang over the head. It's like the full weight of God's wrath and God's judgment is just there waiting to come crashing down and crush your soul. But because of Jesus Christ, we're no longer enemies of God, but we're sons of God, accepted in the Beloved. How does God see me now? He doesn't see me as an enemy anymore. He sees me as a son. How does God deal with me? Well, he deals with me as his son. Sometimes that means chastening. We could go over to the book of Hebrews and read how God chastens every one of his sons, everyone whom he receiveth. And the Lord loves whom he chastens. And if there's not chastening in our life, we're no son of God at all. Right. Sometimes it's chastening. But I guarantee you, all of it is rooted and anchored in God's love for me as his child. And he's faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness if I confess my sin. He doesn't hold it against me. It's removed. It's behind his back. You know, and we fail and we mess up. And sometimes we do it royally. But when we confess our sin, God is faithful and just, and he deals with me as a son, and he doesn't disown me because I've messed up. His love for me is not based on my performance to him. Amen. I'm accepted in the Beloved, a son of God, because of Christ. What a gift. He's my Savior, who has delivered me from the bondage of sin. He's made me accepted in the Beloved. Thirdly, we're preserved in him. In this, we mean that those whom Jesus saves are saved forever. We're preserved in Christ. In John chapter 6, go over there with me. John 6 and verse 37. Jesus says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. These are promises from Jesus Christ himself. We're talking about being preserved in him. And Jesus said, it's the Father's will that I lose nothing. And those who believe on me, I will raise again. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 3, turn over there. In 1 Peter 1, while you're turning there, I'm going to read you John 10 and verse 28, where Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You see the security that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 1, in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Listen, we can rejoice in the Lord here tonight because we're kept by his power. Once you're saved, you're always saved. God's never going to disown you. Amen. We're preserved in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're accepted in the Beloved. We're delivered from our sin. Thank God that he sent his Son into this world, not as a judge, but as a Savior. In John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And verse 17 says, and God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The angel said to the shepherds, fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy, because unto you is born this day a Savior. But then he said, secondly, which is Christ. Our text there in Luke 2, in verse 11, he says, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ. Christ is the title of access. The Savior came to bring salvation, but in so doing, we're now allowed access into the very presence of the Almighty God. You recall the account of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and how in those moments of darkness as God was pouring out his wrath on his own Son, how it pleased God to bruise him in the darkness. And Jesus cried with a loud voice, it's finished. And he gave up the ghost. And the Bible says that the earth shook. There was an earthquake and the veil of the temple was rent in twain. The veil in the temple was the thing that blocked the access to the Holy of Holies. And only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies only once a year and only with blood to make atonement for the people. When Jesus Christ shed his blood, and when Jesus Christ was that sacrifice, the perfect spotless Lamb of God, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, and the way of access into the very presence of God was now made available for sinful people. Amen. Through Jesus Christ, we can now approach the Father as a son. And look with me in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Because of Jesus Christ, our great high priest, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Why can we do that? Why is the word therefore there? Well, verse 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. On the basis of that, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace. Listen, we can approach the Father. Jesus is the only means of access, though, that we can approach the Father. We can't stand in His presence on the merit of our own. We can't stand in His presence presenting ourselves. The only reason we can is because we've been clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and the way of access has been opened. The sin has been paid for, and God has clothed me with His Son's righteousness. So when I stand before Him, all He sees is the righteousness of His Son. He doesn't see my sinfulness. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, stand there with me, please. 1 Timothy 2. What a gift that we have access to the very presence of God through Christ. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, or men, the man Christ Jesus. What a blessed gift that we can approach the Lord at any time. At any time we can come into the presence of God in prayer. In Philippians chapter 4, turn over there with me. Philippians 4. In verse 6, be careful or full of care. I mean, it's talking about worry. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about things. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What a great thing to think on. The truth that I am a son of God, that the way of access is open. I can approach the Father at any time because of Jesus Christ. Talk about peace, the peace of God that would pass understanding, that would keep your heart and your mind. Why don't we take advantage of that? Amen? The access that we have to the very presence of God. The name Christ, it refers to Jesus as the anointed one or the anointed high priest. And in this ministry, he addresses the Father on our behalf. And he does so in a couple of different ways. In Hebrews chapter 7, in verse 25, look at this. Hebrews chapter 7, in verse 25. Verse 24 says, but this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He talks to the Father on our behalf. He intercedes for us because He ever liveth. He also pleads our case before the throne of God. Because in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says here, 1 John 2, 1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. An advocate is like the go-between. He's like the defense attorney. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And what does that mean? How do we apply that? How do we envision that? Well, we envision it like this. The accuser of the brethren, Satan himself, coming before the throne of God, you say, see what he did right there? He failed again. He sinned again. He did it again, just like you told him not to, but he did. The accuser of the brethren, going before God the judge, talking about the failings and the faults and the sins of this imperfect man. But because I have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, all he says is, see the blood? And God the judge says, case dismissed. He has no case. The accuser of the brethren has no case against the saint of God because of Jesus Christ and his blood. On the merit of Jesus Christ, we stand redeemed. Holy and righteous I stand on the merits of Jesus Christ. I'm not righteous, but his righteousness has been imputed to me. It's been credited to my account. And there's been a wondrous exchange of my sinfulness for his righteousness. And the accuser has no case. Amen? Amen. Christ, the title of access. We can come into the very presence of God. Christ is our high priest who intercedes for us, who's our advocate. What a gift. The Lord Jesus Christ is. The angel said to those shepherds, unto you is born this day a Savior, who's a deliverer, who is Christ, who gives us access. And then thirdly, he says, the Lord. Another title, but it's a title of authority. The Lord, a title of authority. When the angel called Jesus Lord, he was referring to the one who was, who was in absolute and total control because he's God.
That's right.
The title of Lord is also a reminder for us, friend. It's a reminder to every Christian that Jesus Christ is to be the absolute authority in our life. Is he? Friend, is he really the one who is in full control? Is the pattern and the bent of our life one of full yieldedness and surrender? Lord, whatever your will is, whatever you want of me, just show me what it is. Tell me what to do. I am your servant. I yield myself to you. You know, I think that the teller of whether that's true or not is really seen from day to day, from moment to moment. Not necessarily in the big overall picture, but really moment by moment, every day. This day I rise, this day I give to the Lord. I'm yielding myself to you. Control me today. Use me today in the moments. Lord, I need your wisdom. I need your discernment here. Lord, I don't know what to do in this situation. Tell me what you want. Tomorrow, this day is yours. Day to day, moment by moment, yieldedness, surrender, because he's Lord. We are to allow him the headship in every area of our being. In Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word conformed means to make into a mold. The world wants to shape us into its mold, squeeze us into its mold. Don't be conformed by the mold of this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Verse 2 says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. There is no greater offering that we could give to the Lord. There's no greater form of worship that we could give to God than a living sacrifice. God demands total obedience. He demands it. But you know what? His demand for total obedience is not too much to ask, especially when we consider what he has done for us. A Savior, who is Christ the Lord. As Savior, he's worthy of our worship. As Christ, he's worthy of our dependence. As Lord, he's worthy of our obedience and adoration. As Jesus Christ He's worthy of all that we can give to Him. Have you given your very all to the Lord Jesus Christ? His identity, He's Christ the Lord, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He's God. He's worthy of all of these things, and may we be the kind of people that give Him the praise and the adoration and the devotion that He is worthy of. Amen. Unto you is born this day. There's the glory of Christmas. God did that for you and for me. What a gift. Let's honor Him. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for Christ. Thank you for your Spirit that helps us to apply your word. Lord, I pray that you just encourage us here tonight with even reevaluating, examining our life, and am I really yielded to Him in all areas? Do I thank Him for not only the deliverance from my sin, but for the fact that I have access into the very presence of God, that now I'm a child of God? And then, Lord, to honor you and yield to you as Lord, giving you the headship in our life, your rightful place. Lord, I pray that you just strengthen us, encourage us, challenge us with these thoughts. And as was prayed already tonight, Lord, that we would be on purpose for you. Bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right, good to be with you tonight. Make sure you greet one another, greet our guests, greet the Lamberts. They're leaving on Friday. Been up here for the holidays, of course, but make sure you greet them. All right, we'll look forward to seeing you on Sunday. You're dismissed. Thank you.